Star 6. Okay, so this week is Parshas Tetzaveh, and tonight is Zion Udar, the 7th of Adar, and it's the Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Parshas Tetzaveh and the Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu go together because this is the Seder in the Torah in which Moshe's name is not mentioned. So, you know, the Mefarshim say, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheni no mesifricho, you know, blot me out from your book, Kashe kusavto, that if you say something bad, you know, that you can make it happen. But, you know, everything that happened with Moshe Rabbeinu was good. Everything that happens is good. So, what's happened here is that This parsha of Atah Tetzaveh begins with the oil that was needed for the lighting of the menorah. You know, last week we were talking about the menorah, and we mentioned the Torah of the Divrei Menachem, the Stropkever Rebbe. So the Stropkever Rebbe said, Mikandis Kasha Moshe. Moshe had difficulty with the concept of the seven arms of the menorah, which represent the seven midos, the seven characteristics that need to be fixed, that need to be mended, and that need to be consolidated. And particularly, Midas Yesoid, that aspect of our sexuality that needs to be fixed. So he asked Ribbono Shel Olam, how can it be done? Because the problem is that this is the part of our personality that really invokes our atzvus, our depression, morash choira, the part of us which despairs, because it's that part of us. The truth is that each of us has a peccal, each of us has a burden. You know, some of us, we have like a really fiery temper that we lose, and when we lose that, we feel depressed, you know. I mean, it doesn't really matter which of the midos, which of the characteristics on this seven sephiros, you know, if we find that we have a tendency to meanness and withholding tzedakah from people, or if we tend that we have a problem with our boundaries, whatever it is, we're going to end up depressed. But Moshe felt that bochu l'mishpachei seyem, that there's something about our sexuality that can drag us down so deep and make us feel so bad about ourselves. How are we going to be able to be mesaken it? And Ribbono Shel Olam shows him menorah shel esh. He shows him a menorah of fire. And the fire signifies simcha. You know, we were learning in Sefer Yetzirah that the right side of the tree, chesed and netzach, is represented by mayim, by water, by desire. And the left side of the tree, which is gevura and hoid, is represented by esh, by fire, which is passion. Desire and passion are not the same thing. You can have one without the other. The idea is to bring them together, desire and passion together, and that is the root, so to speak, of sexuality. And it's in the coming together of them both that really there's the danger of a deep depression. So Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, the way that you can be mesaken, the way you can fix that is with simcha. And it's interesting, if we look at the story of Yosef, if the Yesoid, if this fundamental understanding of sexuality that the Stropkever Rebbe is teaching us here, you know, that really Simcha, and it's not just the Stropkever Rebbe, we were learning in the Me'ah Shiloach also, the Me'ah Shiloach says, why does the Zohar, I mean, the Gemara talks about the dangers of sexuality, and you know, the big sins that are there, In the second perek of Masechta Nida, Rachmila and I were learning, but the Zohar, particularly in Parshas Noach, he lays it on in a whole, like with a trowel, you know, beyond anything that's there in the Gemara. So the Meir Shiloch asks why. What's the purpose of laying it on like that? And he says, Simcha, of course. You see, we tend to look at everything so negatively. Oy, what a terrible sin. Oy, how bad I am. Oy, woe is me, right? But the Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, is looking like an Ishbitzer, right? It's like, Gewalt, I went a whole day without doing anything wrong. I mean, I should make a party. I should make a simcha. I should make like a bar mitzvah. You know, this idea that you have in the 12-step program, right, that you have just today. And when two alcoholics come together, and one has 30 years without alcohol, and one has 2 days without alcohol, it's, you know, one doesn't have more time than the other. It's like, who got up earlier this morning, right? If the guy with 2 days got up an hour earlier, then he has more sober time than me with 30 years, right? Because we're dealing with today. And the Ishbitzer says that's really the purpose of the Zohar and the whole Kabbalistic approach to sexuality that lays it on the consequences and stuff like that with a trowel, you know, lays it on so thick. It's not in order to make us depressed for carrots. It's in order to be this Gewalt, source of simcha that a person can see, you know, with all the baggage that exists in all the worlds and everything is depending on me, and look, here I am. I've gone a whole hour without doing something wrong, right? So the whole world, I've supported the whole world for an hour. And, you know, when I think of Yosef HaTzadik, in the light of this Strupke Vatora, I've been, you know, re-examining some of the things that if Yosef's koyach is in Yesod, if his greatness, Yosef HaTzadik, the Tzadik Yesod Olam, then he must have been the one with the greatest simcha in the world, right? Otherwise it doesn't really explain the mechanics of his greatness, right? But if we say Menorah Shel Eish, if we say that it's about, you know, Simcha, that Simcha is the way that we purify our sexuality, then Yosef must have been the happiest man in the world. And I think that was what was so irritating about Yosef to his brothers, right? That he has simcha, and he has a kind of simcha that makes him oblivious to their sniping. They're so oblivious. He says to them, they come down in Egypt, and, you know, he calls them spies. You've come as spies, and he puts them in prison for 3 days, and then he brings them out of prison, and he says, look, this is what you've got to do. Eswele kimani yore, I fear God. I mean, how come they didn't immediately know it was their brother talking to them, right? He says, Eswele kimani yorei. I mean, he says, I fear God. Why would an Egyptian say such a thing, right? But, you know, he's so cheerful, right? They can't even hear him because they're so resentful. And they don't get it. They don't get, they are cut off from that sunlight of his simcha because of their resentments. And whether their resentments are justified or not, but the problem with resentments is that it makes us feel cut off. I mean, we're not even aware that we're cut off from the light. So Yosef, with all his simcha, was not able to be mesameach his brothers, even when he was like open with them and told them who he is. Because that's one of the Torahs that, since I came across this Strupke of a Torah, he says in the name of the Sanzen and the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, that generally speaking, the prophet says, what does God want from you? He says, Shimru Mishpat, You know, be just, justice, asu tzedoko, and do charity. V'hatznei lechesim Hashem nekecha, and walk privately with God, right? So there's any of tznias when you do mitzvahs, you know, not to like flaunt it, and you know, not everybody has to see you putting on tefillin and how the kavanas that you put on into your tefillin and so forth. You're allowed to do things with tznias, with modesty, right? But when it comes to Yiras Shamayim, when it comes to fear of heaven, there's no inyan of tznias. There you have to be like in public. There it's okay to be in the open about Yiras Shamayim. And where do we learn that? We learn that because Yosef announces to all the world, right? Eso lekim ani yorei, I fear God, you know. I'm not embarrassed to say it. Right? That's the flip side of his simcha, right? This gevura, which is this whole left side of the tree that is able to have a matzar that has hold itself in check and rein in. This is the source of Yosef and who he is, and you know that we were learning many times that Yitzchak is the one about whom we hear that he has laughter, right? His name means laughter, and he's the source of gevura, and he's the one who has really great sex life, right? Because we're told that he's mitzachek with Rivka. So the Torah that the Strupkova was telling us, that we mentioned last week, that the best way to deal with sexuality is with simcha. This has its mikoyer in gevura, which, you know, the source from Yitzhak and so forth, is the ability to contain and to have boundaries and so forth. I mean, it all ties in together. And just as in your simcha, you have to be able to live it. So your Yiras Shamayim, so your fear of heaven, we also have to be able to live it. And it's one of those things that it needs to be in public. Right, it's not one of those things that needs to be hatznei leches. Right? So again, what if Yosef was the happiest guy in the world? And when I say happy, I don't mean happy; I mean simcha happy, right? Which is like a deep, profound joy. Right? A person could be deep and profound joy even when they're sad, right? How come his brothers didn't get a contact high from Yosef Simcha? And the answer is because the resentment that they had at him, it blocked them, right? And you know, there's a gewalt lesson that we have to learn about the power of resentment to cut us off from the light, from the sunlight, from the simcha, from the joy, from the source of everything that is healing when it comes to the tikkun of these seven midos. So here we are in this week's Seder. We've gone past the shape of the menorah, and now we're in the mechanics of lighting. And of course, you have to have fuel. What's the fuel? Shemen Zayin Zoch, this pure olive oil. So the Gemara says, and the Torah says, "Mechutz laparoiches ha'edus," outside the curtain, Yaroich, he should set up. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chof Pei, says, "V'chilo oiro hu tzorich." What does God need the light? Why? What's this whole mitzvah of menorah? God needs light. V'hale kol arboim shana sholcha b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. The whole 40 years that the Eden wandered in the desert, they only traveled to the light, to God's light, right? Because there was the pillar of cloud during the daytime, and then there was the pillar of light at night, and just the whole camp was filled with light. It was like radioactive, right? So everything was filled with light. You know, they needed to actually physically light a menorah, some like a candelabra inside the sanctuary, otherwise you couldn't see. Like, for 40 years they walked everybody in the whole camp without, you know, street lighting, because there was plenty light. So why did they need the Mishkan? They needed light. So the Gemara answers, Ela edisuli leboy oilam. The menorah isn't to light God's building, but it's to show the world that the Shechina dwells in Israel. So Tosfos, then the Gemara, he asks a simple question. So why does the Gemara say, does God need the light? We walked for 40 years in the wilderness. Why didn't the Gemara say, and does God need the light? The whole world, all the time, lives by the sunlight of God. You know, like, what's this with the 40 years in the wilderness? It's not just 40 years in the wilderness. It's like everything that we have is, God said, let there be light. So God has light. God is light. So why choose that 40 years in the wilderness walking business? So, in some ways, this for me is special Sedra, because, you know, I love the Tiferes Yosef of the Radzina. And, from Parshas Noach, that was the last, we didn't have any Tiferes Yosef. And then it starts up again in Parshas Tzitzava, so it's like a gift. So he says, what does it mean to walk in the light? The Gemara says, V'chila oira hu tzorech. Does God need the light? V'halei kol ha'arboim shono sheholchu b'nei Yisroel b'midbar lo holchu ela l'oiroi. The 40 years that the Eden walked in the Midbar, they only walked in the light. So the Tiferes, the Radzina, what does it mean to walk in the light? And it's pretty radical. He says, to walk in the light means to know in your heart, to have really internalized that the ultimate wholeness is that God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you, doesn't need me, doesn't need anything. So long as I think that I have something to give God, I'm not walking in the light. So then what's the meaning of creation? Let's not go and deal with that one first, but let's have a look. What's the meaning of walking in the light? When I do something wrong, what does it mean I do something wrong? I believe that I've gone against the will of God. What kind of thinking is that? That I, puny Hershey, can do something that is contrary to the will of God? We talk about the Rotzon Hashem's Baruch, God's desire, right? You see, in English, when we talk about God's desire, we can say, well, we can imagine that what we mean is, God desires that the world should be a particular way, but we human beings have the power to make it another way. God wants people to be nice to each other, but people have the power to be not nice to each other. But in doing so, what we're really saying is that God's desire is just a desire. It's not will, it's desire. And then we separate between will and desire. But really, it's a spurious, distinction. Because when God wills something, when there is a rotzoin, then that's what will happen. When God says, this is what I want, that's what happens, right? So the Radzina says like this. Adam Arishain, he meets Cain, and Cain killed his brother, right, Hevel, and God puts this sign on Cain's forehead. Adam meets him, and he says, "No, what happened, Cain? How did things work out?" So he said, "Nispasarnu, God and I, we came to some kind of compromise. I did teshuvah. Well, I mean, hardly, but, you know, a proto kind of regret or shame at being found out, whatever. It was like, you know, by modern Davidic, King David standards, you would hardly call what Cain did teshuvah. But, you know, something, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and, you know, God said to him, "Tmeochicho, your brother's blood's crying out to me from the ground," and he said, "Oi, my sin is too great to bear," and so forth. When Adam Arishan hears, he says, "Psst, kach, godel koicha shel tshuva," that's the power of tshuva, that you can kill someone, and it's like, you reach a compromise with God. Mizmor shel yom ha-shabbos, toiv lahoidois l'Hashem. Song of Shabbos, it's amazing, it's really singing praises to God, or Toiv Lahoido is to be moida, to make an admission to God, to confess to God. Toiv, that's a medrash, right? So the Radzina says, well, what is Adam really, what is he seeing here? We read the story of Cain, the first murder, the first, you know, well, there's many ways of looking at the story of Cain killing Hevel and so forth. It's Torah, right? It's Torah, it's there in the book of Genesis, right? It's what comes out from it, the glory of God comes out from it. You have somebody like Pharaoh, who just did everything that he could to get on God's nerves and treat God's children as slaves and hurt them and pound them and crush them and just, really. Pharaoh didn't even want us to make bricks in the end, right? Because he wouldn't even give us the straw. He just wanted to hurt us, right? Lahachis. Because he knew what was going on, right? He'd seen the miracles, and he knew God was out to get one thing, and he was going to do everything he could to deny God. He didn't think anything to the glory of God was going to come from his story. Nor does Haman in the Megillah. So the Radzina says, the idea that evil exists is the illusion whereby everything has human potential. Without this illusion, humanity doesn't have any potential. Because if we could see the truth is God has an agenda, and that's what's going to happen. And Toiv Hashem Umeitiv, God is good and does good, and that's the purpose of creation, because God wants us, and, you know, he wants to enjoy us as his children in this world and give us this amazing world that he's invented for us, and, you know, just give us pleasure, oineg, because oineg, as we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, it's the highest good, right? In order for human beings not to be annihilated by the light of being face to face with God in the presence of God, there's this illusion, there's this fog. One aspect of the fog is evil, the idea that I can do evil, because if I stop and just look at the evil that I've done and consider it as such, then I'm not really taking into account the fact that God is in charge of the world and His agenda is going to be, it's going to work. I mean, there's nothing I can do to stop God's agenda. If God created me, then that was for a good purpose. And there's nothing that I can do that can prevent that good purpose from being fulfilled. And God created me for a good purpose, so there's nothing that I can do that could possibly prevent that from prevailing. So the Radzina says, so what happens is that I tell myself, oi, look what I did. I did this terrible thing, right? And in doing so, I forget that God is in charge of the world, right? So I get into that confusion and that illusion that I, look what I did. Oi, look what I did, right? And I'm telling myself, oi, gewalt, look what I did. And then something happens to me inside, right? I get so broken. And look what I did. It's gefährlich. And in that moment, I say, Rabbi Shalom, please, show me how I can undo what I did. Show me how I can not do it again, or whatever. The process of that breaking in my heart, right? Which is, we call that teshuvah, right? All of a sudden, I'm face to face with God, right? In that moment of doing teshuvah, I'm right back in the presence, right? And then, you know, if God can take the story of Cain who kills his brother, and He can take the story of Pharaoh who kills millions of Yidden in torture, or Haman who plans to annihilate all Yidden in one day, you know, if He can take that and make that the glory of God, then God can take everything that puny Heshy did and make that the glory of God too. And it doesn't matter what I think the story is, or the narrative, or what I think the underlying motif of my life is. It doesn't really matter. I'm just caught up in my own illusion of what the narrative is. The narrative is Tov Hashem Lakol, that God is good to everything, and that God didn't create me for, you know, in order to hurt me or to despoil me or to, I should end up less than I started. Implicit in this story, as we've said many times, is that it's good, right? So, in order for a human being to be able to live a human life, we have to have that illusion. So now, the Ishbitz says, the Radzina says, what's the idea of going in the Midbar? You know, Toisus asks, the Gemara says, does God need our light? Well, 40 years we were walking walking in the wilderness, and we were walking in the light. So the Radzina says, what does it mean in the wilderness? What's the difference between the wilderness and what's not the wilderness? And here he's addressing the question that Tosis is asking on the Gemara. Why does the Gemara just talk about 40 years we walked in the wilderness? The Gemara could have asked, does God need the light? God is the light, right? The whole world's full of God's light. But the Gemara wanted to say something when it mentioned walking in the wilderness. So the Radzina says, you know, when you live in the normal world, you can tell yourself, when I do something wrong, I'm going against the will of God. When I do something right, well, I'm fulfilling the will of God, right? So when am I more useful to God? Well, presumably when I'm doing the will of God, right? We can get caught up in the illusion that somehow God needs us, or that somehow we can do something to the greater glory of God by doing the right thing, and that there's more glory to God when we do the right thing than when we do the wrong thing. And that's part of the illusion too, says the Radzina. To walk in the light means one thing. It means to know that I'm walking in God's world and God is in charge. I'm not in charge. That's walking in the light. Do you know when that's easiest? Not when I'm in yeshuv. Not when I'm in normalcy. It's easiest when I'm in the midbar, when I'm in chaos, when I live in chaos. And when I'm living in a chaotic world and I understand that the world is in chaos, and when I understand that it doesn't matter whether it's me, the goody, or him, the baddie, or him, the goody, and me, the baddie, right? That God is in charge of the world. That is walking in the light. We have to get beyond our parochial understanding of what the meaning of the world is. We have to get beyond the simple haha, us and them. We have to get beyond that, oh, he's a Shomer Shabbos and he belongs to this kahal, he belongs to this congregation, everybody in that congregation only eats kosher, and their wives all wear shaitels and so the glory of God that comes from their worship is a wonderful thing, you know? And over there, you know, it's like people, they drive to shul and the women don't cover their hair, you know, and they have a guitarist, you know, in their shul on Shabbos, you know? And so, you know, it's a lower percentage. And that those Yidden over there, they go to Wall Street and they do their best business on Shabbos because they have, you know, like we have, when we're in the yeshuv, when we live in a normal world, we're just, because we're humans, we tend to make hierarchies of things. And if we're making hierarchies of things in our mind of what God wants, then we're in the illusion of there's something that God wants from me that I can give. And it's not true. There's nothing that I can give to God. I have to, walking in the light means that I really am in knowing that God is self-sufficient and that God has a plan that is going to be fulfilled whether I'm in it, whether I'm down with it or not, you know, and that I am part of the plan, and the plan is good and benign, and my story is going to be benign. And unless I can keep coming back to that, unless I can keep coming back to that understanding that God is in charge of the world and never let go, didn't give anything away, and God's rotzoin, God's desire is the same as God saying, I will. And that everything that is going to be happening in the world from the beginning until the end is that function of that desire. The only way I can like really be in that is if I'm not comfortable in my own skin. I have to be uncomfortable in my own skin. I have to not be able to categorize the world in neatly and say this is good and this is bad. And so this, well, as soon as I can do that, then I get caught up and I'm no longer walking in the light. Walking the light means that I'm aware that I'm in God's hands, and that, you know, I'm hoping God's going to lead me down the road that's comfortable, and that I don't have to feel ashamed of the things that I do and stuff like that. But ultimately, you know, I need to be in the midbar to be walking in the light. Kol arboim shana shaholchu b'midbar, all the 40 years that they walked in the midbar, loyholchu ela la'oyrei, because when you're in the midbar, then you're really aware all the time of the forces of chaos. And what does it mean, the forces of chaos? What looks like good is not so good. And what looks like bad is not that bad. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, if for 40 years we really did walk in the light, because we could never be sure that what was right was right and what was wrong, and that we had to be keep coming back to our trust and our faith in God, that what God wants is going to be happening, and that's all there is. In that case, why the menorah? V'chila oira hu tzorech. And the answer is, it's Eidus Shashechina Shoira B'Yisrael. This awareness that God is good. It seems so obvious, but it's only obvious because we hear, because we were given this Torah, we were given this Shekhinah, which dwells right here in us, that affirms this. That God's good is absolute. It's not conditional. It can't be perverted. It can't be made bad, and it cannot be gainsaid. And that no creature on earth has the ability to prevent God good from happening. And it's going to happen, and it's happening. And so all evil is an illusion. That is the meaning of Eidus Shashechina Shoira B'Yisrael. And you know, in a certain way, for this Torah of the Radzina to be said out loud, Moshe has to step back. Because Moshe is Azhoris V'Onsh, right? Moshe's warnings, don't do this, and Moshe's, this is the punishment for doing that, right? The awareness that even this is an illusion, for this Moshe has to step back. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu can't see certain things that are revealed to Rabbi Akiva V'Chaveiro, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is that voice of Asuras V'Anshim. So here in this Sedra, where Moshe Rabbeinu steps back, so to speak, is the revelation of V'Atu Tetzaves B'nei Yisro V'Yikru Elecho Shemen Zayezoch Kosis Lamoel Lahalis Ne'etome, that here in this week's Sedra we're given the wherewithal to raise up the light, to walk in the light.